Dave Pezzo joins us now. Kevin Miller in the morning on KIDO Talk Radio. Good to have you with us.
It's good to be here, Kevin.
So when we're taking a look at just the markets and what's going on, obviously it's pretty much go time. There are no more excuses. The Super Bowl is over. The Super Bowl ads are over. It's time to get to work, right?
It is. It is time to get to work. We're past that Christmas lull and into the new year, well into the new year, obviously. And, yeah, it's time to get rolling.
So what should we be looking out for?
Kevin, the earnings have been coming out, and they've been fine. It's nothing blockbuster, but they're certainly ahead of expectations, as we expect them to be. But now the market's reacting completely different than it did 3 months ago. 3 months ago, it was reacting to great earnings, incredible earnings, best, just off the charts great earnings, but it was going down. Now we're in okay earnings, good earnings, and the market is obviously completely different than it was in December. So looking forward, earnings look great. Corporations are doing well. And you saw the jobs report on Friday was killer. It was another amazing report.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because you still have a lot of people that are saying, hey, it's great for the markets, but it's not great for them individually. And people are worried about the end of a good run.
People have been worried about an end. You know, it's like that the constant drivel about how we're in the late innings of this particular recovery. I think we're in the 20th inning of this late inning. It just keeps going and going and going. And it is an amazing recovery. But trying to figure out just by some date, like it's old, so we should think it's done, is really a silly exercise and has proven over the last several years now to really prove the pundits wrong. It's not late, it's not too late, and the economy continues to expand. You look at that jobs report on Friday, and you stop and you say, if this is a late-inning game, this is something else. I don't know where these guys get this energy, right, if it's this late in the game, because we're talking about 304,000 jobs, 500,000 people coming back into the workforce. This is early stage stuff. This is, you know, this is off of a steep. This is what we should have seen in 2009 and 2010 at the beginnings of the recovery, not at this stage 10 years later.
Sure, but, you know, it's just kind of like a bad breakup. A lot of us never get over it, and many people still haven't gotten over what happened when the markets did take that tumble, and rather a big tumble.
Yeah, it did take a big tumble. There's no doubt about it. Occasionally the market does.
I mean, that one hold on. You would know about that.
I lived some of that. Yeah, think I remember it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a terrible time. It was. And honestly, in October, we didn't know if the market was going to recover. You know, it was a terrible what was going on in the credit markets with banks, the Federal Reserve having to step in. It was really something. It was a real different time. And I don't think we'll be seeing that again in my lifetime, anything like that. We'll see corrections, maybe full-blown bear markets where the market goes down substantially, but it'll be for a different reason. That was credit markets. That was really something, Kevin.
So when you are getting ready for the State of the Union, mm-hmm. and another government shutdown and tax returns and everything else,
yep.
what are you forecasting?
I think it'll be the same. He'll be saying the same thing, and the Democrats will be saying the same thing that they say, which is that they're not going to support anything he supports. You know, happy babies and sunshine and rainbows. If that was what Trump was supporting, they would be against. And so I don't expect anything.
Well, thank you for that. All right. Dave Pezzo joining us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Kevin Miller in the morning on KIDO Talk Radio. You know, one thing that fascinates me is Papa John's. Are you a big fan of Papa John's?
No, I'm not a big pizza guy.
Man, this is going to be a tough segment.
I know, I know.
I mean, you're not really giving me a lot here. So, Papa, well, that's what I get for asking the question. You know, whether the attorneys say never ask a question.
No, you don't know the answer yet.
Right. Yeah. Well, Papa John's is a fascinating study of what happens when a business loses its founder. I mean, he was the face of Papa John's.
He was, yeah.
And now they're trying to sell it. He's trying to get it. Who would have ever thought that this would happen based on, this guy started it himself, and because of some things that he said, he's losing his company. What goes on in the battle for companies?
It depends on who's in the battle, right? You have hedge fund managers, maybe. You've got some bankers. It always depends on whether there's how much debt there is and what the circumstances are. You see that in radio with all the debt that there is in radio. These are bloody wars with bankers and stuff, right? You know, there's so much debt in radio. What, Kevin? Come on, you're a student of this of radio, and how much and how difficult this is. What is it? What is the Clear Channel gone? Clear Channel out. Who else is left? And they're battling with hedge fund managers and bankers. That's what they're battling with.
My bad. Sure, but let's go back to pizza.
Papa John's?
Right.
Pizza.
So when we're looking at pizza, when we're looking at here's this iconic company and the founder leaves, and then you have the battle over it, then you have people that are on the front lines just trying to earn a living. How does that impact them?
Oh, you can obviously, like you look at Sears. Hold on.
We can go back to radio and how it impacts that. But
right. But we see that within. We certainly see that with job cutbacks at places like Sears as they're going through bankruptcies and all these other retailers. That's a good example of that.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yes. This is the first time like you've ever rolled up your sleeves. I think during the commercial break, you're going to work me over here. I mean, all of a sudden, I feel like Jared Goff of the Los Angeles Rams against the Patriot defense.
I'm ready.
I can tell.
And I can tell you're ready. I mean, your Pats won. You got to be a pretty happy guy.
Sure. But, again, you know, this is kind of like the stock market. We're kind of due for a yin-yang kind of day here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all on me. So Dave Petzo is with us, the Petzo Center. Petzo Financial. And let's talk a little bit about the big game, because it seems that, like, entirely it's a media creation.
Yeah, it is.
Were you out in it yesterday at all?
Was I in the media creation?
Were you one of the people that went to the stores?
No.
Or went to see the game? I mean, it was a huge revenue generator.
Yep.
For people that were just, you know, the media programs us. Mm-hmm. You got to go get your chips. You got to go get this. I was reluctantly out in it, but just as an observer.
You went out?
This great segment. I'm sitting here looking at this, but I mean restaurants, grocery stores, mm-hmm. the gig economy where you have people Grub this, where if you get something and, you know, you call someone and they will personally deliver it to you.
Yes.
Like
it used to be, but they were busy.
Right. Record day. So what does that entail? What goes into that?
Oh, it's just like every made up holiday, Valentine's Day, all of these, they're all made up. This is like the Super Bowl. It's just a made up thing so that the retailers can sell stuff. Mother's Day, Father's Day, the list goes on.
I would never say that Valentine's Day is a made up day. Yeah,
well, it is most certainly
you
is.
Oh, where's your heart?
I love Valentine's Day. I'm not saying, but it's a totally made up day.
You
right?
love Valentine's Day even though it's a made up day? Is that like following fake news?
I'm just trying to save myself from my lady right now, so she's not going to be very happy with me.
You notice how I pounced on that for you.
Yes. I love that. Thank you for that. That's very helpful.
Thank you, Kevin, for
helping my love life. Thank you.
So back to the Super Bowl, though.
Yeah.
A huge media creation. They have us watching the commercials.
They do. I know. People are watching the commercials for all the new announcements. You're right. It's a complete media creation. And it was also a game I thought was very interesting from a standpoint of one of the teams does not deserve to be there. One of the teams is hated by many, not you, but many, because they win all the time, right? So you have a really interesting Super Bowl where people may have been rooting for your Patriots just because the Saints should have been there, not the Rams, right? So you have – it was an interesting Super Bowl, I thought, and I guess some of the ticket sales were – or I should say the ticket prices were a bit down from prior years. So not as big a deal this year. But, no, I laid low. I did not go out and participate in the overall economy's growth.
I figured you would because I was amazed and shocked that even though there were no Seattle Seahawks or Denver Broncos teams or even the California teams, people were really into it. And they've got you conditioned that you've got to watch the Super Bowl. And then you have people
yep.
that their entire, you know, program will be, hey, did you watch the Super Bowl commercials?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a we saw that on the news this morning, right? As like people are showing which commercials did people like the best. How was the halftime show? All those things that are just, to me, are just kind of weird behavior. But that's it's a media creation. You said it, Kevin. You said it best. But think of all these commercials they built up to, and they'll be running for the next several months on TV.
So back to my pizza thing. This is where I was going with Papa John's.
Super Bowl. Yeah, it fits.
So you had someone who invested in Papa John's, and their shares have gone up $200 million after Starboard, whoever they are, put money into it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these startups can be amazing when they hit. They're home runs. They're more than home runs. As you said, up to $200 million or whatever, yes.
580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller, our great friend Dave Petzo's with us after he straightens me out. You don't want to miss our next segment. KIDO Talk Radio. Alan, you never know who's going to show up at our State of the Union party, Dave and Buster's, 901-3800. You and I were joking. I said, look, if you show up, you would be mobbed. You'd have, you know, Tea Party Bob, Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. I bet that if you show up, if I introduce you, you'll have people swarming you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll bet you a dollar, because I'm going to be there.
Okay,
fair enough. All right, we're on.
All right, so back to the Super Bowl thing, the whole psychology of it all.
Yeah.
You have people buying merchandise. You have people, and these are people that are not even fans. So the NFL, I believe they got it right. No more cultural issues. No more Colin Kaepernick. We're not going to debate this stuff. We're going back to what Dave Petzo talks about, making money.
Right.
Making money.
Well, and living life. You know, it's just, why is everybody outraged about everything? It's there's always an outrage out there. We all have to be offended by stuff. And I thought that this just went way on past it. People enjoyed the Star-Spangled Banner and those two gals that sang America the Beautiful. Wasn't that
right.
cool? That was a really cool thing. I just thought that was wonderful. And, you know, I didn't see anybody kneeling or holding up signs about the great injustice or wearing, you know, hats on their heads to make some kind of, you know, women are oppressed statement.
Right.
It was just football. It was America at its best, in my opinion, is just this beautiful, let's go have some fun and not feel offended for a moment. And if your team wins, that's fine. But I'm going to scream and yell at you, and you can scream and yell at my guys. And that's just fun. That's just fun.
And you like the game.
I liked the game. I thought the game was very interesting. I couldn't believe that it wasn't 30-3, frankly, because they just absolutely destroyed the Rams. Eight punts in a row. That's just incredible.
Right. You were focused on the game then.
I did enjoy the game.
Right.
And I don't care about football. You know that. I don't even like football.
I know.
Not professional. I like college football, but I don't like professional football.
So did you watch the commercials?
No, not really. I didn't. And none of them seemed good to me. Did they to you? Did you watch them?
I think the one that stole the show was the NFL celebrating 100 years.
Oh, that was a great commercial. You're right.
Yeah.
All the greats running around, jumping on the phone. Yeah.
The new greats, the old greats.
Yep.
And there's such a power of self-deprecation when you have Barry Sanders. And you and I remember Barry Sanders.
Yep.
One of the greats of all time. And then you have Emmitt Smith at the table going, I got more yards than him.
Yeah.
You know I got more yards than him. And then, you know, you have the young players, the old players. And then you have, you know, Terry Bradshaw, like Joe Montana, won 4 Super Bowls.
Yep.
And a lot of people just know him as the funny guy on Fox, reliving the Immaculate Reception with Franco Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, again, it had something for everybody. And if all commercials could be that way. I also thought the Bud Light commercials. And Bud Light, they got obnoxious because it seemed every break it was Bud Light, Bud Light, Bud Light.
Yes.
And then they mix in the HBO Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And boom, there. I thought, wow, now that was something. I think those were probably the two that caught my attention.
You're probably right. You know, I know what Game of Thrones is, but I've not been sucked into the vortex of the Game of Thrones. So I don't care about it. So I understand that was the theme, but it didn't draw me in like it would have for a fan.
The millions of people that do follow the show.
That do follow the show, that live and breathe that show, yes.
Yes, but again, it's like cheering for NASCAR. We're cheering for the commercials. I've always thought NASCAR was the most brilliant sport because we're watching a bunch of folks, you know, doing left-hand turns, cheering for the DuPont Chevrolet or the Lowe's 48 or the Budweiser 9 or what have you.
Yeah, and it's only $250,000 if you want like this.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I got to see one of those shops one time that you would have been fascinated. Have you ever seen? They're just, it's such big business now, right?
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Now, you went to Charlotte or did you go to
Charlotte?
Yeah.
It was in Charlotte. the guy that used to be with Gibbs?
Gibbs, Joe Gibbs. Gibbs.
Yeah, that was his shop.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about hundreds of employees to do this thing. And they were talking about how much it costs just to have like a name put on the tire, you know.
Like maybe you'd want to sponsor NASCAR.
Oh,
like
yeah, because it's
the Petso Chevy.
Right, yeah. But, you know, the ones where you see, like, home, it's millions of dollars. They couldn't do these races without all the sponsorship money. It's incredible.
And the cool thing about that is you have that at the Meridian Speedway, the lower level, where people are, you know, they do go to local businesses and they sponsor the cars and such. And
they do.
These people love it. You know, there is one NASCAR company out of Denver. Martin Truex Jr. just left that company. I think they're called the Woods Brothers. They're the only NASCAR company outside of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're the only Western-based NASCAR company. They seem to do very well. They have like one or two cars. But back to the business.
Yes.
So is the NFL back after the Super Bowl?
I think so. I think so, Kevin. Now, you're a big fan of it, but I have to agree with your assessment that it was just – and the idea that this was just football. No statements, no outrage, nobody's trying to make a Kaepernick kneel, that this is the worst country ever in all of history. All of those things where we just walk around offended. I am hopeful that some of that stuff has just been overdone.
Right.
I mean, I the women I know don't feel outraged about their life and where they live, and I don't, you know, anyway, I just don't I don't see
they're probably
it.
Outraged
and the minorities
you about,
that I know the same thing.
They're outraged at you for your Valentine's Day comments. Now, usually I'm the one that says those things, but
yeah, well, it is, it's a made up day.
So to participate in Valentine's Day, would we be hypocrites to do that?
No, it's a made up day. It doesn't mean you can't participate, right? I'm going to participate. I
hope
have
that,
to participate. We have to. You do, too.
I hope that you do.
Actually, your wife will be very busy that day, won't she?
Yep, for the next 2 weeks, she'll be busy, yeah.
Yep.
Brings in a big truck for her flower business and all that because of all the orders and such. However, this is fascinating, and you can appreciate this. You know, people always talk about the prices going up for flowers and roses.
Right.
What I've learned is my small education of working or not working, watching my wife work at Hope Blooms Flowers and Eagle, is that, you know, they just pass on the profits. You don't, you know, the wholesalers understand the roses are coming in, they raise the prices. So, you know, it's just passed on, you know.
Got it. Everybody's marking up. Is
right.
What
so, yeah. You know, you just pass it on. So it's not like you're getting a bonanza. Somebody one day said, well, I'd like to get some roses. And I'm going, okay, this is the price. You got to be kidding me. I go, no, dude, that's a deal.
Yeah.
Anyway,
buy them next week.
There you have it. Dave Petso, I wonder if you could do that. Anyway, finally, a topic we can all get into. You've got a Congresswoman Omar saying that the rich should be socked with 90% tax to pay for the Green New Deal.
Right.
What's your reaction?
Well, she's foolish. They are, and I understand they're pandering to the leftist base and also their own political power. Because what happens then is you confiscate 90%, which sounds pretty much like confiscation to me. And when that's the case, as President Kennedy found out, and we lowered the taxes from 90% down, tax revenues boom and the economy booms. Because people will not take that. They'll either tax shelter it, either legally or illegally, or you'll simply say, why would I work? I'm not going to work any more hours. I'm not going to expand that factory over there that employs people. Poor people do not employ people. It just isn't the case. And you can't legislate fairness. You can legislate to the point that people have equal opportunity, but you can't simply say in society that all people need to be equal no matter what their efforts or their abilities are. That's just absurd. It doesn't work that way. And all this idea that socialist experiment number 173, this time it'll work because we want it to work this time. It never works. It doesn't work. And as Lady Thatcher said so famously, socialism is a wonderful thing until you run out of people to pay for it. And that's the problem with it. It doesn't. Nobody.
Are you concerned though about the new socialists in the Democratic Party?
I am. I'm sure that for the Republican strategists that only care about winning rather than the country winning, that they're gleeful because I don't think people buy into this. There's far too many voters that know that socialism doesn't work, that the idea of just pandering to people is stupid. There are, you know, people are just smarter than that. And I get you if you're under 30 that you haven't had much of life and you don't think about things, so your feelings matter more than reality. And I get that. So you're going to have a good number of millennials that come along. But people, as life goes on, you realize that there are things that are wise and things that are not. And you know a pandering politician when you see one. And not new ideas or good ideas or workable ideas. Those are not. And there's just way too many of us out there that are not going to just vote for the left and for the right, no matter how ridiculous the candidates are.
Dave Pezzo, he saved the segment, folks. Thank you. The Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Money Matters. We appreciate you, sir.
Appreciate you, Kevin, always. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And now you can roll down your sleeves. We've made it through. You're listening to KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, please do so today. It'd be great to hear from you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, this week we had, let me digress a minute. It was interesting this week because it felt like, you know, the market's kind of getting more volatile again, right? It felt bad. But it was actually an up week. Now, not up a lot. But don't you find it fascinating that, like, since the beginning of the year, actually, since Christmas, boom, 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 almost day after day. Almost every day is up. And almost every day before that was down. It was just doom and gloom and doom and gloom. And it was just like this, here we go. We're down on Wednesday. We're down on Thursday. We're looking down on Friday. And all of the reports, of course, are very dour. And they are. But I thought, you know, I started last week's program by saying, you know, I feel so sorry for the doom and gloomers. Because they had a really, really, really bad week last week. You know, with the amazing jobs report, 2 months in a row. Right? And some of the economic reports that have been postponed because of the government shutdown are coming through. Yeah, it's just been really tough on them. You know, the world was ending with the market sell-off, the, again, corrections, a certain to occur over and over again all the days of our life, but this is the big one, corrections that they always call. Been really tough. But it was this week, too, because finally it's like, okay, go, we're going to get some reprieve from this up, up, up all the time market. And when you're short, it's got to be devastating, right? Market's going up and you're just getting killed. You're getting killed. And the very stocks that were down so much in December. So if you're like a short seller, you're going to be betting down, right? And you're going to be particularly going with those companies that are falling fast. High tech, small cap, you know, stuff that's a little more leveraged to the economy and good times, right? And so you have this really accelerated down, and everybody is selling, and they're on piling on. And those are the very ones that made this, like, V, what we call a V-shape, right? Straight back up. Recovery. So you can imagine the shorts is just devastating. Like, give me a chance to get out. And then the market, just like on Friday, again, no news. It's down in the morning. It's, you know, and of course they have to belch out all whatever reasons in the world, like the trade concerns. Every day we've got trade concerns, apparently, because they can't really tell us why the market might be down 5 points. Markets do stuff, but we always have to have a reason. So we have to put a tag. Everything has to have a reason. Daddy, why is the sky blue? We have to know, why did the market move 2 points? Why did it go up? Why did it go down? Tell us, tell us, tell us. And we get this caught up in this world of hyperventilating about every single little move. But then this week, it's just like on Friday, went, well, I guess we're done going down. And it's so funny because apparently everybody went home early because I get kind of some weekend stuff, you know, and I mean like, I don't know, 30 minutes, an hour early, whatever. And didn't bother to edit it because the headlines were still that the market went down on Friday. And, of course, it didn't go down on Friday. It didn't go up a lot. But the S&P and the NASDAQ were both up. The Dow doesn't count because it's 30 stocks. It's price-weighted. It's a silly index. Over time, it'll probably look reasonably like the S&P, but only reasonably. And on a day-to-day basis, if you have one big company that went down a little bit like Boeing, that's a $400 stock. Compared to a $40 stock, it has 10 times the weight of an index, and there's only 30 of them anyway. That's how silly the index is. So anyway, so you have Boeing down and who knows what else, but Boeing would have accounted for the entire move of off a whopping 60 points. But the point is the market was up. But the reporters had apparently gone home, and they'd already just decided, that's it. We're just going to name this down. So the doom and gloomers are still out there. They're not giving up by any stretch. By any stretch. They're not giving up. All news is bad news. All news is politically biased. It's loud. And it scrolls. Now, what I mean by that is you have to have constant, think of your smartphone, I'm scrolling. What's the latest headline? Oh. And where are we going to get our news? How about a couple sentences on Twitter? And this is supposed to be important to know precisely at 10 a.m. what's going on. And then 10:15, we change. What's the market doing? You see what it does? It gets us fixed. Say, well, the market's down. Market's up. Market's sideways. Oh, my gosh. Why are we thinking like that? Because we do. It's a technology. It allows us to do that. It causes us to do it. But when you scroll, why do I think that's an important point? It's not just for the human beings. It's having to understand why it's laughable that we ever go to a Yahoo Finance. That we ever go to... that other one? Doggone it. Market Watch. Bloomberg. I mean, Bloomberg hates Trump. Do you think there's going to be any political reporting that is even remotely reasonable? No. Do you think anything's going to be talked about the economy actually being good? Not while he's president. No. But that's where we go. We're going to go get some. Yeah. And then we go to Market Watch, which is... somebody asked me, what's the worst one? I think they asked me like last week. It was like, Bloomberg, because I know he hates him. But I can't tell. I'm not sure. It might be. Market Watch. It might be worse. They're all biased. But anyway, so you go scroll through and it acts like there's something there. And so we look and we laugh. We go, yeah, market tanks on bad earnings reports. And then you look and it's green. The market's up. That's what I mean by scrolling. What's bad has suddenly changed and within minutes. That's what I mean by scrolling. We shouldn't even look during the day, honestly. We think we're being in touch. We think we're being plugged in. And we don't think it bothers us. We think that. And it does. It infects us. It affects us. It's politically biased. It's politically charged. We get angry. I probably shared this last week. I'll share it again anyway. But I've had a kind of a epiphany the week before. I'm going to do this before we take our break here. But I it's about 10 days ago, when they broke the news on the Virginia governor. And I can't even believe it. It's absolutely, if you were watching this in a movie, I swear, you turn it off because it's so stupidly unbelievable, wouldn't you? Right? I mean, the governor, the lieutenant governor now is, he's got two women telling him, they raped. They didn't make inappropriate, he didn't make inappropriate things. He didn't hug somebody he shouldn't have hugged. He raped him. Now, I'm not saying he did. The accusers say that, right? I mean, this is serious business. Anyway, I'm finding myself getting really, really angry. And I finally broke down and got cable. I haven't had cable TV for a long time, so I never got Fox, right? And I like Fox. I do. I mean, I like listening to Hannity and those guys. But it can be kind of mesmerizing, right? And as you watch them, and they come on, and it's the only place you can get some real news, right? So I like watching it a little bit. But I found myself in this whole abortion thing, okay, of just like, this isn't a talk about pro-life and pro-choice. This is murdering a baby. What the heck is the matter with this? You know what I mean? And so finally I went, I can't do this. It is making me so angry about everything. The socialists, that everybody needs to tax, and we got to do this, and we're having to do this and that, and it's like, this is the worst country in the world, and yada, yada. Turn it off. So I did. I had to. I didn't disagree with it. I just didn't need to hear one other person being outraged about something that's so outrageous, it's inconceivable. Now, I share that to say this. We can get so caught up in the news, so wound up about what's wrong in the world and all the injustices that we can't see what's right. And we really need to guard our hearts. We really do need to do that. It's really important we do. Because we can cause ourselves such incredible misunderstanding, let alone just being angry. We do have to dial it down, especially commentary. We've got to walk away and feel, just be able to smell the roses, right? We really do. And when it comes to our investing, it really messes people up. I mean, if you ask the average person how great corporations have been doing for the last 10 years, they go, I think they're making money. It's okay. No, it's been phenomenal. Market corrections, worrying about Europe, this, that, global slowdown, trade, whatever, Trump, Obama, Obamacare is a disaster, blah, 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 QE 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then when they take it away, and then it's the Fed, and it's all this stuff. That's what people hear. They don't hear the economy's okay. That voice gets drowned out by the scrolling, negative, loud, politically charged news. It's hard. It is really hard, and it's really, really that important. It is. We're all human. You just can't sit there and watch pornography and not have it affect you. This is financial pornography. It affects you. Don't kid yourself. It does. All that negative news, all those negative websites, all that negative stuff. Bad, 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 bad all the time. Well, what about? Go ahead and what about yourself to death? People do. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I got to take a quick break. Jim, you're up to bat next. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go ahead and go to Jim. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Yeah, you brought it up, that thing in Virginia.
Yes.
The other day, I mean, I was listening to the newscast and everything, and then I had this epiphany, and it's not a major epiphany. It's kind of common sense. All of a sudden, I thought to myself, hey, that is none of my business. I mean, why should I care? That's Virginians' business. Okay, now, the governor said something else, I guess, about abortion and, you know, I'm pro-life and all this kind of thing. But on the other hand, I can't do anything about anything, and I'm not a protester. So with social media, they want to make it seem like everything that happens on the planet is everybody else's business. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, it's not.
Well, I agree with you, but I to a degree, okay? Social media does do that. All media does that. And it's here today, gone tomorrow. Do you really think we're going to be talking about this for very long? You think Jeff Bezos... With what's going on with Amazon, as soon as that news cycle is done, it's done. You know what I mean? We don't remember any of this. It's a blink and it's gone. And that's the way the news is, which is kind of
silly and unfortunate, in my opinion, that we feel like we're going to let this all just run away so quickly when sometimes it's important. But in this case, Jim, that's in America, and I think it's an indication of what's going on. And that's why I think it is important, that it's an indication of how extreme it's gotten. That it's not just Virginia either. It's Virginia that made it, that almost in a cartoonish way, although it's tragedy, came out and admitted what was going on, right? It was them that came clean. It's New York. It's other states that are saying, no, you can have abortion on demand. I mean, I expected Cory Booker to, when he announced, to go, to stake out even a more of an extreme position, maybe something like, you know, hi, I'm Cory Booker, and I think up till the kids enter elementary school, you ought to be able to kill them.
Okay. Well, yeah,
I mean, it's just gotten so weird.
Well,
it
I
is
mean,
news.
True. I mean, that is more important. That is far more important. But I mean the blackface, the Ku Klux Klan, the pictures,
totally, yeah,
that crap. That's none of my business.
Good Lord! I mean, imagine all the photos. I mean, we had Obama photos, or lack of them, or lack of all kinds of things. Nobody cared. We've gotten so hypersensitive about something somebody did 35 years ago getting drunk at a party.
You know, when I was in college, and I went to college down in Texas. And we had this kind of a funny picture made of all the guys in my group. It was a military, you know, outfit. And on the top of my cap, I had a Confederate flag. So I guess that kind of eliminates me from running for anything.
If that picture came out, you'd be done. I mean, it's...
But, yeah.
It's that bad. It's like you can't make any mistakes. And I don't think... I did things... I still to this day go, God, you know, I really didn't treat that girl right. And I didn't treat that guy right. I was a terrible friend to this person over here, and I actually kind of sort of bullied that person over there in part of our group. I made fun of them. All those things. I'm not proud of that, but it's I don't know anybody that didn't do stuff.
Well, for one thing, there's human nature, and they're trying to change human nature. Maybe you can do a point, but, you know, it's kind of like, and they talk about moving the goalposts. It's kind of like, the rules changed back then, you know. Maybe back in the South in the 1850s. I mean, they had cotton; they needed to get it picked, and that was the way it was done, you know.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, okay, it's bad, you know. But you look back on it, and you know.
Jim, I appreciate that, and you know, I grew up with watching my grandparents take care of a settlement house, and that settlement house was in a very, very poor coal mining community. That's what settlement houses were. They were places in the East that people could go as a community center and get help. And that's what they did, you know. So I saw real poverty. I saw a lot of what I'm trying to say is that I never, even when I grew up, had anything at all except, you know, that person's black, that one's yellow. It just didn't matter. It was – they were all served. And it didn't make any difference. And I worked around people when I was a little kid, so I kind of grew up that way. I never really fully understood in the South. This was West Virginia. It was kind of South, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still dealing with some race issues. They were, but I never saw it. I just saw people...
Virginia was South until they seceded from Virginia.
That's correct. They were. That's exactly right. And during the Civil War. So it was an interesting split there. But my point being is it's never really been something in my life. But I saw lots of things at that time where people just were helping each other. It was, you know, I'm sure there was race issues. I'm positive. This was in the 60s and 70s. And so it's something that's gone on, but it's something that's gotten much better is my point. And we act like now it's a brand new thing. And the people in the 60s that we had this set of rules, like I said, moving the goalposts. And then, and now today it's different, but what you did in the 60s now comes to haunt you.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's right either. And it's not that people can't change or this person understood and is better now. For years, we thought that was okay. That what was it? Byrd in West Virginia was a grand whatever poobah in the Ku Klux Klan. That's fine. And all the blacks voted for him. And now, if somebody says something or went to a party 35 years ago, they're down. No matter what their whole life might have looked like, and this guy looks like a clown, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Well, what's weird is, I mean, this guy can't even really verify that he was even in the picture.
No, he's backtracked, and he said he was and all that so many times. But, Jim, your point is well said. We do have to ignore the news. I appreciate that. I'm sorry you can hear the music. We're rolling out of here, and I thank you for your call. Thanks, sir. And we're going to be back, of course, for hour number two. Hey, I've got a couple things I want to touch on annuities, so stick around for that. And also this constant babble about late innings. We'll talk about that as well. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Again, this is hour number two, and this is these are my opinions only, and not a broker-dealer, not this station, blah, blah, blah. We're not here to tell you what to buy, sell, 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 okay? We're not. But in all seriousness, it's all noise, and don't take anything that we're talking about. If we talk positively about owning Apple or Google or Netflix or something like that, you ought to go run out and do that or buy those companies. We're here to learn and grow together, and not knowing what a person has in their portfolio or how it would fit and what kind of risk tolerance they have, all of those things mean that it's just absolutely absurd. And we want to move away. We're the anti. Bye, says us out. Look at the media. Look at the news. What should I do? What should I do? Push the button. Figure out what our net worth is. Oh, my gosh, let's figure it all out. No. We're here to talk about behaving right, getting rich over time. Because that's what you can do. And everything else is driven by fear. Media's fear. Media is politically biased. It's loud, and it changes every second of every day. It scrolls. I don't know how else to say it. It scrolls, right? It's bad. No, it's good. The market's up. No, it's down. Oh, all of those data points are important somehow. Why? It clouds our judgment. I love the Fidelity, right? The best investor of any type they have. Is it men? Is it women? Is it minorities? Is it older people, younger people, college-educated people?
Or just people who dropped out of high school?
All of this was sliced and diced. And all of it is all just like all together, right? Everybody's the same. Except one group. Way ahead. This is unbelievable. Who are those people? They're people who forgot they had an account. They left it alone. Everybody else is clever by half. We're running around in circles. Give me more data. Give me more information. I'm listening. I'm keyed in. I'm all this. So frantically. And we don't think we do this, but we do. Because even just sitting there, you're taking so much data. Then we just have to turn it off. And then the idea when we hear about things, or check out this website or that one. Oh, did you see this article? What about this? What about that? We could just go into the whatabouts constantly. It's like we can never say, this job report was killer, period. Wait, you mean no, but? I mean, come on. I mean, like, wages must have been not very good, or really poor people didn't do very good, or something out there didn't do really, 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 really good. It always comes with a but to make us feel like it wasn't really good. You know, it wasn't just good. The economy's good, period. Try it on sometime. And as soon as they're like, you go, mute, done. It was just like, you got your information you wanted. Is the economy doing well? Yes. Boom. Off. Then we don't have to hear the political bias, the loud, the negative, scrolling data. And it clears it up. See, the problem with this is it's multiple. We are driven to do things that we wouldn't do. There's absolutely nobody that would run out and go, you know, I think it's a really, really, really good idea for me to put all of my money, or most all of my money, into something I can't get my money out of. Something that will not grow. Something that has a massive commission for somebody one time up front, can't ever get it back.
annuity. Nobody would do that. Nobody would do that. Except for fear. That in a heavy-handed pitch. Well, you don't get a Wall Street casino. Here's what you do. Here's our super gooper 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 plan. You know, you kind of get the upside, and then it kind of protects you on the downside, and then it just grows and grows and grows forever. Wow. I'll bet it does, because I think there's fairies in the world, and I got a little magic fairy dust in my portfolio that says it goes up with the market, and it doesn't go down. I have special stuff, fairy dust, on my portfolio. We know this isn't true, but we hear the guarantees. And somehow it's kind of like you just met your future wife and she's so pretty and your brain just went to mush. Can you go out next week? You just can't think because all of the scrolling terror induced, and then we've got all the great sales brochures. Yeah, you get that. And then the slick, super presentations. Here's what happens here. And then when the market collapses over here, you're protected and it's guaranteed. Did I mention it's guaranteed? Did I mention guarantee to you? Have I mentioned guarantee yet? And they don't have to disclose commissions. You do in anything else. Everything else. Financially related. Everything else. Well, how much do you make? 13%? 10? 10, 13? What product do you think works like that? How about none? We've already disclosed. If you really feel like you need some, they have CDs out there that give you full market participation and zero downside. But you have to know because it's fully disclosed. There's nobody out there lying to you. You don't get the dividend. They keep it. That's what pays for it. Oh, so you don't get the dividend. No, you don't get the 2% S&P dividend. Don't get it. Can't have it. You mean it's FDIC insured? Yep. Does it pay a commission? Nope. Some do. You can. I mean, there are people out there that sell them with commissions. But, you know, 2-3%, but most of them aren't. They're done by the banks through registered investment advisors who are required by law, not just because it's like the right thing to do, to disclose everything. But my point is, and why do I say that? Not to have people go do it, because the best thing is to keep the dividend. But if you feel like you need it, you don't need to tie your money up for 10 years and guarantee you get no participation in the market. That's just silly. What I'm saying is if you're really that scared, they actually have some things out there you can do. Or you can have a dividend price. Or you can try to understand what it means to get rich over time. What market fluctuations are. They're normal and certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives. But we have to get back to, we can't let people, the people we love, the people that are close to us, the old guy, I ran into this week, he just doesn't know what to do. And I know what happened. He got bullied into, literally, are you ready for this? He has a zero tax bracket because he's disabled. I'm not kidding you. A zero tax bracket. Early 60s. 100% of his money is being put 100% into annuities. That if he needs something, would have a massive cost to get out. And it won't grow. Why? Because it's guaranteed. And there are no anti-bullying provisions when it comes to insurance. Who? What regulator would think that this is okay? To put 100% of somebody's money into something that's so illiquid. None. But it is legally okay. That's what's crazy. So it's up to us until we get the laws changed. And I really believe that it will happen. And I think that some of the advertising laws are really going to change. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I got a nice letter back from the Department of Insurance, State of Idaho, regarding the brochures. They're working on it. I know that's like saying my body is only about my toe. We got a lot more to go. But that is a huge, huge difference. They're not ignoring it anymore. And as we see things like this, where people are bullied, clearly bullied, where it's so clearly inappropriate to any human being on the planet to tie up all of your money into something that's so illiquid. We can argue about how ridiculous the product is, and that's an argument separate. Forget it. We all know it's absolutely absurd. We could argue about the sales tactics being unbelievably horrifying, that nothing else could be sold this way. The lack of disclosures we can argue about. But one thing that I don't think is arguable by anybody on any planet is the idea that you can't get to your money, any bit of your money. It's not like, well, I've got an investment over here in some real estate. It'll take a while to work out. And do you put all of your money there? Of course not. Nobody would say that's a really good idea to pay the developers 15% up front and tie up all your money. Let's hope it works out. Who would say that? Nobody. It's not appropriate. But it's appropriate somehow in an annuity? It's not. So we've got a lot of work to do. But the idea that we're doing something, it matters. But you and I still, we've got so far to go that when we hear about it and see it, we've got to call out the injustice. We've got to call the Department of Insurance and show them what's going on and tell them and file complaints. And we've got to stop those people from getting bullied. The people that are your next door neighbors, the people that's your aunt, that's your grandparents. Elder abuse is on the rise. It's just so dramatic everywhere. We've got senior citizens that are being pushed into trusts. They own nothing, but they're paying $5,000 to some legal firm. I've seen them as high as $20,000. How much money do you have, old lady? Oh, I've got $30,000. Well, our bills are only $20,000. For what? It's theft. And we have to call out on that. We've got to protect people like that. There's lots and lots and lots of our family, neighbors, friends that are just don't know and are scared, bullied, whatever it is in their life. They just can't do it on their own. They can't say no. Or they don't know. And we've got to stop it. We really do. If you know of somebody or you are somebody, would you please, 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 even if you're not sure, maybe a little bit nervous, just get the information over to the Department of Insurance. They're there. Your taxes pay for that. They pay for that. Get that information over to them. Let them follow up for you. Let them know what's out there. Let them see it. And if you know of somebody, please encourage them. Help them. It doesn't take much time. It really doesn't. And don't you think it's a right battle to fight is for justice? For protection? For better rules? I'm not a big rule guy. I'm not a big law guy. You know that. I'm not big on government at all. Government's in the way all the time. All the time. But they ought to be in the way of misbehaving, of exaggerations, lies, abuse. Isn't that what government's for? Is for justice? Not some kind of, economic, we got to redivide everything up justice. No. The justice of fairness and being dealt with honestly. And that there are repercussions by law. But without people complaining, without people pushing forward, nothing happens. Nothing gets changed. This is important. It's not just important to me. And if people think this is a competitor or something, you've got to be kidding me. It's not even remotely competitive. We just see it once in a while. If it was such an honest thing, wouldn't registered investment advisory firms, certified financial planners, people that actually have licenses and actually do financial things? Let's say Warren Buffett would just own this stuff. I mean, who doesn't want the upside without the downside? We all do. Duh. And none of us do it. Because why? Perhaps it doesn't work. Perhaps it's not true. Ever, under any circumstance. When we get caught up in fear and we get caught up in all of the news and all the comma buts, instead of just, it's okay. We live in the most abundant time ever on the planet. Period. Not, let me see if I can dig through enough websites to find out the comma, but it's all about to end. And here's why. But you see, when we go back and we look at the 1940s, and they were just great. There was only a world war going on, the good old days. In the 1950s, that's fine. We didn't have any Me Too movement generation going, and women were, well, they were pretty heavily oppressed. But they were the good old days, though. And the economy was tough, and people worked long hours just to put a small roof over their head and feed their family. We live in such abundance now, and such unhappiness and such outrage about everything. Don't you ever stop and wonder? Why can't we just say that? And when we don't, it affects us in our thinking about how bad things are instead of how abundant they are, how well corporations are doing, how good the economy is. And we steer away and we drift towards the wrong things. Oh, if people want some guarantees, some liquid stuff, some short-term things because they're going to use money, all that stuff is all out there. But you don't have to tie up your money for 10 plus years and pay high commissions and know it'll never work. There's lots of, it's not all about just owning stocks or just being in the market. But being honest about what's going on out there in our own heads, our own negativity. Why do you sit on piles of cash? Well, you know, aren't there some better things? I mean, it doesn't have to be in Google. There's so many better things to do. We have over $10 trillion sitting in cash earning near zero. I don't know how that makes any sense given the history of our economy, no matter what's going on, including world wars. I don't know how that makes any sense, except our fixation and our overflow of politically biased, loud, negative, scrolling news. Oh, we're plugged in all right. We're plugged into terror. Not what's really going on. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. Got to take a quick break. Please give us a call. I'd love to talk with you. Really, seriously. Let's line them up the rest of today. Let's talk. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, would love to hear from you. Come on now, let's do, get on the phones, email, what have you, okay? I'm sure there's got to be some comments and questions. We're covering a lot of ground every week here, a lot of different things we've been talking about. All the news and that is good news, being taken as bad. The market's changing so much. But one of the things also that we are have been talking about is this constant babble about we're in the late innings, right? We're in the late innings. I've been hearing this for 5 years, the late innings. Everybody loves an analogy, right? So when we get onto an analogy, it appears to be good. They can't let it go. So this is the late innings. It must be about a 25-inning game to the folks that it's in the late innings for. But when we think about that, and we instead of looking at what the ground conditions are, right, and listening to the babble, what we end up with, again, is saying, okay, now I'm trying to guess when the next recession is. and you'll make about 10 guesses for every one you get right. I know you think you're better than that. I think you or you think this economist or that one's better than that, but they're not. Studies show that the economists call, okay, 10's a little bit high, but that they've called for about 7 recessions for every one they nail. Come on. It's just unbelievable. Why? Why guess? Why not just wait for the data to come in? You know what I mean? Like, we're going to get a recession in 2019. Why? Well, because all good things come to an end, and we're in the late innings, and we're, okay. Why? Well, no, I mean, what data is showing that? Is it the, let me see if I because I'm pretty sure the jobs data, is it the jobs data that bothers you? Well, no. Okay. Is it the inflation data that bothers you? No. What is it? Because it looks like the economy is doing well. The GDP has gone from 2 to 3%. Is that what bothers you? That looks a lot like a recession to you? It's pretty crazy. When we think about why play the guessing game? And it makes people, again, here we go with our political bias, loud, negative news. And don't worry, those economists never lose their job for crying wolf or for talking about Keynesian economics, because that's what was taught, and so that's okay, even though it is been disproven over and over and over and over and over and over again for decades, that it just doesn't really help to have governments print money and run government programs. A dollar doesn't equal more than a dollar. It doesn't. A dollar equals less than a dollar as soon as the government touches it because of all the bureaucratic mess. We all know that. Even people in government go, yeah, I mean, duh. Yeah, we got to run it through 10 different things. This whole idea, okay? I got to take a quick break here, but this whole idea that we're going to, in 10 years, redo the entire energy grid. Like, really? Let me just give you an example of government involvement, because this would, I would think, end any conversation that the government should be in charge of, well, anything other than police. The state of California, and I know it's a basket case, but it's still a pretty good example. Imagine its work operates very much like the federal government. It doesn't operate. And so we're going to do a high-speed rail, and they get $1 billion in the first part of the Obama administration. So we're talking 10 years ago now. Okay? $1 billion to get started. Started on the high-speed rail. 10 years. So how much track have they laid? Final Jeopardy question is zero. Well, they must be, they're getting prepared. They're like plowing the ground. They haven't finished with the permitting. So I'm pretty sure in 10 years they can easily do the entire energy grid. Couldn't they? That should be pretty easy, don't you think? All right, we got to take a break here for Fox News. Terry, you hang on. And our number is, please do bring us up, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Email is dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. It's like a cartoon. I mean, it's just you're watching like what I would call it in the old days, like a Thursday night movie or something, you know, some would be not top of the line. It would just be something that some studio threw together, right? And it would always be some sappy little nice thing or whatever, right? And you'd be like, well, this is so unbelievable, or some drama, like what's going on in Virginia right now. This is such BS. You'd click it off. It'd be like, I'd rather watch, you know, some weird vampire fantasy movie that seems more real than that nonsense. And so it just is unbelievable to me. But like we were talking earlier off air, it's just crazy. I mean, can you imagine if this was like I'm going to make it up. Alabama, the 1, 2, and 3. So what they're going to do now is, Lieutenant Governor, here's my political prediction. Will resign by the end of the weekend so that the governor can then appoint another Democrat, and then he can step down. Because otherwise, they're going to end up with number 4 is a Republican. Yeah, that's no. And here, God, I mean, wasn't the KKK started by Democrats, right? And they wanted segregation and all, but they're the party of... of love and equality. I love it. I love it. All right, Terry, rescue me. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Equal rights for all, sir.
Yes, sir.
But, hey, since you're such a muckety-muck in the valley here, know Dr. Alstead and talk to Kevin Miller all the time.
Yes.
Why don't you have them stand or convince the help? I talked to a pollster the other day, and they wanted to know if I would approve of the city putting up $3 million of the city's money in order to get that fancy soccer baseball stadium.
Oh, right. Yeah.
What is it that the city doesn't understand that if it's such a good deal that they want to spend my money on it, why doesn't the developer spend his money on it?
Right. It's a fair point. Why?
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
I think that's a fair point, Terry, and that's the same point that that I've tried to make with Kevin a few times. Not Kevin, but when we talk about that, and we talk about any projects, like for example, I just love the idea that we tied up. Forget about the inconvenience of Americana, right?
No,
it was a fine road of 4 lanes. It's now 2. You oftentimes have to sit through an extra light now to get through what was a great little intersection. Do you know why? And why they decided that we should spend $1 million is for a bike lane. So we now have less lanes in a busier and busier city in a north, a main, it's not the major, but it's a main from downtown to the bench route. Instead of I have no problem with a bike lane. Honestly, I live up there. I literally ride my bike down there, right? To get to the Greenbelt, often in the summer. I'm not anti-bike. But why don't we build a bike lane or expand the sidewalk or something, for gosh sakes? This is instead of shrinking roads for this, just the decision-making process. If you want to do that, then sell me on it. Don't just do that. You want to do a stadium, then you sell me on the idea of it. Don't just tell me it's $3 million and your property taxes are going up. And if you want to build new schools because you never put money aside and you just want more and more levies, sell me on it. Don't just tell me the kids are starving and the roof is falling in, because guess what? On my house, I know the roof is going to wear out. I know stuff's going to wear out. Guess what we do? We put money aside for that. It's so weird. We plan for things to go and break, and they don't, and I don't know why. It's just one of those things that's very frustrating to me, as you can tell.
Well, I still am a little exercised about the $300,000 in city money to redecorate the front porch at City Hall.
Right.
Let's have a fancy statue down there, because it'll make us, I don't know, so much better.
Right.
But the quote I sent to Erica, after I figured out that I should have given you my money years ago, life's tragedy is that we get old too soon and wise too late.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. That's a Franklin quote?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. Isn't that true? Because I prefer that the youth is to the other quotes that are like that, right? That are like, youth is wasted on the young type of thing. And those are all true, but it's still, I agree, we do. And hopefully, Terry, and I think you're a very wise man, but I hope that for all people that at least, hey, if we're getting older, let's get a little wiser, right? Let's not get stuck in our ways.
And, my mind more.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Take care, sir.
Thanks for your call. You have a great rest of the day.
All right.
Bye. Stay warm. My goodness gracious. Coming in here today it's so cold today, isn't it? It's like this is the winter that didn't happen until now, right? It's We're in it. But this is nothing. Nothing. My daughter, as you know, lives in Seattle, right? And they can't get anywhere. She shot me a picture. I'm not kidding you. From the local Fred Meyer store, Yeah, it's not far from her house, but Fred Meyer's is, and it's a huge store, and all the empty shelves, because people are just, they're afraid they can't get out or aren't going to get out for days and weeks, and so it's very interesting. I know it's making fun because it's climate change, it's not global warming, but goodness gracious, if the planet is getting warmer, why are we in this deep freeze? I don't understand, and I don't. I know it's a one-year thing. That's why I always yell the other direction. It's a one-year thing. It's a short-term thing. The Ice Age was here 10,000 years ago, for crying out loud. I don't know what climate is or isn't, what causes it and all those things. I mean, I don't go around, you know, trying to hurt the planet, but I think we need better understanding, too. I just do. But anyway, it's nothing compared to Seattle. My goodness gracious. Wow. It's crazy up there. Crazy. And with all the traffic, all the people, wow. Just miserable to slide around there. All right, we got to take our final break, and I'm not going to plead for phone calls, but we've got an empty board, and I can't believe on a day like this everybody's out and about. They're not. It's cold out there. So hunker down. Let's spend a little time. Give us a call with whatever questions, comments you have. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Well, apparently everybody is just taking a big old nap today because I can't get anybody to call. Or the market's so dull, everybody's all just good, which is a really fascinating thing coming off of, I just think it's fascinating, as a, if you will, a student of markets, a student of human beings interacting with markets and news flows, things like that, if you will. Fascinating to me how it's such an uptick of interest when markets are down, even though they're normal. And people are like, when they're up. There is no news. I mean, it's like, and so we wonder why is financial news almost always negative, and why the bears get so much airtime. And the answer really is because fear works, right? It's if we're not in this fear mode, people aren't watching and they're not listening. And they're not. It's just human nature. We just don't want to play, listen. We've got other stuff to do. If in fact we're doing okay, if the economy's okay, you know, we just kind of don't pay attention. And I'm not sure that's all bad, right? But what is bad of that is the opposite, right? That we're paying too close attention when things are bad and allowing even more negative data points to potentially, no, not potentially, almost always cause us either A, too much worry, or B, to actually not invest when markets are down, because people don't. They don't. Yeah, since we get a pullback here, a little correction here. You know, I think it's looking really bad now because I was listening to all the bears on TV. I'm now plugged in looking for the entry point, and so I'm listening to negative, negative, negative. And you don't pull the trigger, even if that was the plan all along, right? So it's always a tough thing. So we got to be careful with that. But it is interesting that all of the bad news is so great for the media sites, right? All right, let's go ahead and go to Jack. And our number, by the way, is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Jack, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
My pleasure. Listen, we have a nice investment portfolio. We think it's fairly diversified. But the volatility of the markets now concerns us a little bit. And we're considering looking at buying either some gold or some silver. I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
You bet. I'm going to keep it simple, and then I'll follow up with any additional questions you have. Okay? How's that?
Fair.
Okay. Gold and silver, to me, just don't make any sense. Okay? So I'm going to make it real fast. Okay? When I started in the industry, gold was at 800. So was the Dow. Okay? That was 1980. Long time ago.
Yeah.
The Dow's now at 25,000 and gold's at like, what, 1,300? It's up 50%. It produces nothing. It can't change anything. I really don't know what the value is other than you give a pretty gold ring to your wife, she's going to like it, right? So outside of that, I don't know what use it has. I honestly don't. They say it's a store of wealth, okay? It might be, but it's certainly not going to build wealth. It doesn't even keep up with inflation. And when you have something like that, is to me, is a complete negative in the portfolio. I don't want something that isn't producing at least income. If you want a piece that's safer in your portfolio, I'm not going to beat that up, okay? That just makes you feel better. That's okay. But why don't we do something with something that can produce some income, right? Like some short-term, short-duration, either exchange-traded funds. They've got some great bond funds out there. You can go higher quality, medium quality, let the manager do their thing. And you can get anywhere from 2 to 4%, okay, depending on what duration you want to go. Literally, today, even in a zero-interest world, you're getting 2 to 4%. And as rates go higher, and I think they will over time, then I think you're going to find that those go from 2% or 2.5% to on up to 3%. Just depends on how short term, how high quality, how much interest you want, and how long term it is as to what you ought to do. Or we've got tons and tons of income funds out there that are paying anywhere from, again, from 3% clear on up to almost 6%, where they're blending in high dividend paying stocks. And yeah, they'll move with the market, but not much, not as much, right? And then just let those dividends reinvest. And that coupled with your portfolio could help bring down the volatility that's bothering you, number two. Number three, the market isn't volatile right now. We're back to below, if you will, on the VIX, the volatility. I get it. But again, to my point, don't let the media impact your thought of how volatile the market is. It has been volatile in 18. We had two periods where it was very, very volatile. It's calmed back down, and it really has. And I'm not saying it won't get all fired up again next week. It could, it will, and periodically does. But I really wouldn't let it bother you too much in looking at it, like this is a sign that we ought to be diving into gold or something. Follow-up questions.
Yeah. Well, age has a lot to do with it. I'm approaching 70. And so looking for long-term investments takes on a whole different meaning now than it did 20 years ago. And so as I see the market move and jump around, that concerns me that I'll need the money at a time right after the market has gone down. So I was looking for stability as I thought about gold and silver. Still feel the same on that?
I do. And here's why. Again, if you want stability, there's multiple ways to go at it. Okay, in constructing your portfolio. For example, if we're saying you're not telling me you don't want to invest. I mean, I'm not hearing that at all. You want to invest, you want to own stocks, but you want part of your portfolio more stable. Is that a fair analysis?
Well said, yes.
Okay, so let's go with that. So if I want more to be, some of my portfolio to be stable, I want are you looking for income or are you just saying, what if? Something happens and I would need $25,000. What are you saying?
That's what we're saying, exactly. Yeah, what if? Because income, we're doing fine.
Okay.
But if catastrophe could come, then what?
No. Then I would have everything generating income, okay? Most everything. You don't have to have it all. I mean, it's okay to own Google if you want. It's a great company, right? But you understand what I'm saying. A little bit of growth, but most everything is income-oriented, okay? And then you can have that feeding into some kind of a short-term thing. So you could literally almost always be fully invested in the best investments, okay? But you also, you need to start right now because you have to define how much money are we saying? What if? Is it $10,000? Is it $25,000? Is it $50,000? What if what? What if what is the question, and what would that cost? Because if your portfolio is generating income, do you really think all of the corporations are going to stop paying dividends? All of the bonds you hold are going to stop paying interest. If so, I think you need to have a bunker, food, and ammunition because nothing else is going to have any value, okay? Because the corporations having no money means, guess what? That stack of bills you have on in your safe, they're worth nothing too. So I think we have to say, what kind of Armageddon are we talking about here? And if you're saying realistically, Dave, what I'm trying to do is put a safety net in the portfolio. Then put a number on it and put that in short-term notes. Feed enough income, and as it builds up, feed it right back out into those better productive assets. But you always then have the comfort, just because it's not cash, we all like cash, but it doesn't have to actually look like cash. How about a short-term ETF that earns 2% instead of zero? and it's government bonds, right? Or government notes, like short term. So those are the kind of things I would build into that portfolio, okay?
Sounds good. Hey, thank you.
Jack, thank you. A great question, and I'd certainly appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You.
Thanks. And everybody, obviously you can hear the music. We are out of here, and I so appreciate it. If you have any questions, shoot those over to us, petzofinancial.com. Thanks for tuning in.